Wings of Salvation by Adriana Dane, now available from Amber Heat, www.amberheat.com. Winged male twins were an enigma on Vrosha. Growing up, they shared everything, except the female they both had adored since childhood. Her destiny lay with a mate of another race. She would never belong to either twin. Or would she? Destiny sometimes plays a surprisingly delicious sleight of hand. An excerpt from Wings of Salvation. Chapter 1. Andras walked into the sleazy bar on the dark side of Entebbe. He wore a brown hooded cloak that served to disguise his identity and shroud his ebony wings, the very conspicuous feature proclaiming that he was one of the winged sons of Laura and Nathan. There were times when the notoriety of his and his brother's births was definitely not a good thing. Entering this place, on this mission, was one of them. He and Dario had flipped a coin piece to decide who would respond to the moneylender's note and the urgency that seemed to radiate from it. Dario was the level-headed one, the firstborn by all of 10 minutes, and probably would have been the logical one to keep the meeting if it had been held at any other place. But then Andras was the risk-taker, the daring, no-fear adventurer who tackled chancy endeavors no right-minded Vrosian should, and this sort of place might just demand some of his more lucrative skills. And so they had flipped the coin piece, and Andras had won, or lost, depending on how one looked at it. But then, who had ever assumed Andras was right-minded? "Well, have you learned anything yet?" Andras sighed. Another thing about he and his brother being twins was the telepathic connection. Again, sometimes good, sometimes bad. He had to admit it had gotten him out of more than one difficult situation over the last 27 years. "No, Dario, now leave me alone and focus on keeping our parents occupied." "They're fine. Right now they're engaged in conversation with our grandmother." Andras narrowed his gaze and searched the darkened interior of the bar. He spotted Marius at a back table, piles of gold coin pieces stacked before the moneylender. Using coins for trade was rather a newer method of barter on Vrosha. But the city populations had grown, and the old ways were fast becoming obsolete. It was only within the last 15 or 20 years that this new exchange had been created, and the dark side had taken to the exchange with rapidity. Andras reached down to the pouch tied to his leather belt. He had a feeling that whatever Marius had for sale was not going to be cheap. His hunger for coin was well known. "One," he said to the barkeep, and then tossed a coin onto the polished wood surface of the bar. The heavily tattooed tender handed him an amber bottle and swiped at the coin piece. Andras tipped the bottle and let the cool liquid slide down his throat. "Andras, get going. Find out what that note meant and get back here." The voice of demanding reason inside his head. No matter where he went, his brother always had a way of reeling him back in. It would be rude to block him out, particularly right now. But there were times when distance played a part in the clarity of their twin communication. He could not refuse the demands of the other side of their nature, particularly since his brother was the older by 10 minutes. Age did have its advantages, even when gauged in minutes, and Dario never hesitated to remind him of who was the older of the two. Slowly, Andras sauntered over to the moneylender. It wouldn't do to appear too eager for the information. The price would certainly go up. Greasy blonde hair, thickened waist, bulbous stomach, and small beady eyes, which summed up the potential value of everything and everyone around him. He sat counting his coins, chewing on an overcooked piece of unidentifiable meat, slobbering down drink from a bottle. He wiped the back of his stained hand across his pudgy, wet mouth. A lean-faced woman with short, purple, corkscrewed hair sat next to him, pressing herself against the sleazy Marius, licking at his ear, her hand inching across his wide, flabby thigh, toward where Andras assumed was a penis, resting somewhere among all those folds of fat. Her outfit skimpy, barely covering her more than generously endowed frame, she was obviously a whore player. She wore a red studded collar around her neck with a chain attached, and Andrus saw the end of it looped around Maris's fat wrist. Obviously, she belonged to him, the color of the collar indicating she was paid up for the night. Andrus watched as Maris turned and kissed the whore player, and she rubbed her body against his massive one. It made Andrus' stomach twist at the wanton scene displayed before him. At once the earthy smells in the bar assaulted him, stale ale, body sweat, and purchased sex. He definitely wanted to get this over with and get out. "Marius," he greeted as he slammed his ale bottle on the table. The stacks of gold pieces rocked threateningly under the assault. That got Marius's attention. He shot around and glared up at Andrus, then apparently thought better of saying something, as Andrus pushed back the hood of his cloak, revealing his identity. The towering muscular height, as well as the telltale shoulder-length blue-black hair that matched the color of his wings, and the molasses-rich eyes with raptor intensity, obviously had Marius thinking twice before he chose to speak. Instead, grumbling under his breath, he swept a hand outward, indicating the other side of the table, pointing to the vacant chair. "Have a seat. You're late." He slid the loop at the end of the silver chain from his wrist and glanced at the woman sitting next to him. "Get me another drink. Give us a dance before you come back." He held up one glittering coin and flashed it before her. "If I like it, this is yours." Andrus saw her eyes gleam with avarice as she reached out to snatch up the coin. Marius's fist closed over it, and she darted a sly glance at him. "The dance, on the bar. You know what I want. If I'm happy with it and how you perform for the rest of the time I've paid for, you get the gold coin." Andrus studied her as she surveyed Marius with hard, fluorescent green eyes. Probably she was trying to decide exactly how far she could push him and still keep the deal lucrative for herself. Finally, she nodded and slid from behind the table. "I'll signal when you can come back. Watch for it. I have things to discuss with my friend here. Private negotiations." Andrus knew that's exactly what it would be, a negotiation. He just wondered how expensive it was going to get and whether it was worth it. In their search for flair, there had been more dead ends than he cared to remember. The woman sauntered away, swinging her hips, brushing against Andrus as she went. Her sickeningly sweet scent wafted over him as she moved past. He looked at Marius, who leered at him. "I don't think she's your type, Feather Boy. The owner here owed me a favor. He acquired her recently from the black market. He owns her contract for the next 2 years, and believe me, she'll work that plump little ass off before he's through with her. He offered me first choice for one evening. She's still fresh, and it will pay his current debt for me." Yes, Andrus knew about the black market that in recent years thrived beneath the city. Most inhabitants of Verosha did, but the organizers were slippery as snake oil and difficult to pinpoint for arrest. A majority of the goods came from other planets. The site of the sales constantly fluctuated in order to remain thriving and keep one step ahead of enforcement. "You're apparently enjoying your company this evening." Andrus leaned forward, one hand clasping the dagger at his waist beneath the table. "Now, why am I here?" Marius studied him for a long time, then pressed his hands together over his bulging stomach. "I have information you might find of interest." "What information?" Marius remained silent for a long time as he looked beyond Andrus and slowly licked his lips. Andrus was not going to make the mistake of turning around to see what had caught his attention. The look was not one of wariness, but of lust. Andrus assumed the whore player had begun her dance. "Marius, your attention to this matter. What do you have?" The moneylender turned his gaze back to Andrus. "You've been looking for a woman, a winged woman, according to the word in the back alleys." Andrus stiffened and his chest tightened. It had been almost 2 years since Flair had disappeared. Both he and Dario had searched high and low. It was the calling of the ancient wild nature that had finally taken her from them. It's what happened to winged women if their mate could not be located by the High Priestess of the Justinian Order. It had practically killed him and his brother to watch her deteriorate so rapidly, and then one day she had just disappeared. They'd always thought there would be more time, and then there had been none. He leaned forward. "What do you know?" "I know that a wild one was captured not long ago near the jungle borders, one with an unusual coloring of white blonde hair, and flight wings of ivory and orange gold, like flame-tipped primaries. Are you interested?" Andrus's fingers tightened on his dagger. Whatever he did next would be important. He had to maintain self-control. He thought of Dario and eased his fingers from the handle. His gaze narrowed. "What do you know, Marius?" "How much is it worth to you?" There was only one woman on the planet he knew of with the strange primary wing markings Marius spoke of, so sweet with the palest beauty either of them had ever encountered. What would she be like after all this time in the wild? "Depends on the information that you have for me. What if I told you she was caged below and set for sale tomorrow night? What if I could give you the location of the sale?" "How much?" he bit out. Marius looked at him appraisingly, probably trying to sum up how much it was worth to him. 40 gold pieces, up front. 40 more if it's the female you seek. I trust you for the second half, and that you'll do an honest deal." He leaned forward. "Another thing, no enforcement. You go. You get the girl, that's it, or the deal's off. Your oath." His gaze narrowed to sly slits. "Or I might just buy her myself, and have you watch as I have her throat slit, after I've made good use of her." It was an effort, more than he thought he had ever exerted in his life, but Andrus managed to control his emotions. With deliberate action, he opened the pouch at his waist, pulled out the exact number of coins the greedy lender required, and tossed them onto the table. It was important that he occupy his hands, because it wouldn't take much for him to fasten them around the bastard's thick neck and slowly squeeze the life out of him. His fingers flexed beneath the table as he watched Marius take his time counting the bribe out. "Excellent," he said as he grinned from ear to ear. "I will send word tomorrow, an hour before the sale begins. Be ready. I won't divulge the location until then. And remember, no enforcement." Andrus stood up. He couldn't stand to be in the company of this man any longer. "If this is some kind of game, I'll be back, and you won't enjoy a second meeting." Marius looked up at him. "I've heard about your reputation, Birdman. I'm only relaying what I know. That's what I do. If the information is valuable to you, then I make my money. I don't sell valueless drabble. I have a reputation to uphold." Andrus pivoted away, unable to look at the gluttonous, greedy pig for another second, and stalked away. As he walked past the bar, he heard the jeers of the other occupants, the hoots of encouragement and applause. He glanced up to see the whore player undulating her hips as she danced on the bar. Her legs splayed, her fingers buried deep in her pussy. Her eyes were closed as she pumped her fingers in and out of her wet cunt. She was naked, having divested herself of her minuscule clothing, and only left wearing a pair of shiny, high-heeled purple boots, the red collar, and the length of silver chain she now drew up between her legs, fitting it snugly between her pussy lips. He looked into her eyes as she gazed across the crowd toward Marius's table. They were dead, greedy eyes, contrary to the sounds of mewling pleasure she was making as she performed before this lust-packed audience. He inwardly shuddered at the thought of paying for the company of such a female in a place like this. It bothered him even more that desperation for many required females to rent their bodies out to the dredges of Rocha, like males of Marius's ilk, simply to stay alive. Such was sadly the growing black nature of the criminal underbelly of any of the cities of Rocha. Andrus turned away, closing his eyes. In his mind he saw the woman they had hunted for since the day she left, her beauty, her innocence, her gentleness. He cringed at the thought of where she had been, where she would end up if they didn't get to her in time, and he stalked toward the door. He had to get out of here. Once outside, he breathed in the fresh night air. "What did you find out?" his brother's voice bit into his anxious thoughts. He took a deep cleansing breath. "He says he has word of flair." A long silence settled within his mind. Andrus pulled up the hood to hide his features and started walking, his hand pressed close against the handle of the dagger sheathed at his side. "How?" "It's not good. The woman he described could be none other than her. If it is, she's been captured and is in the slave black market, set for auction tomorrow night. We won't have much time." Flair, their beautiful friend, the girl they had both fallen in love with but knew they could never have. They had both fought their feelings, understanding that there was a mate for her somewhere else. that the high priestess would find him eventually, as was the mating tradition of Rosha. But it had never happened. Slowly she regressed to her wild nature, as others had been swallowed before her, until one day she had simply disappeared, fleeing into the jungles on the other side of the planet, beyond the Rava Ocean. They had never stopped looking in all that time, frantic to find her, to try to help her in some way. Before they could succeed in their vow, they had to rescue her from the slave market, and then they had to find a way to rescue her from her ingrained nature. It had never been done before. How they thought they would succeed was something he refused to think about right now. Wings of Salvation by Adriana Dane, now available from Amber Heat, www.amberheat.com. For information on other stories, visit www.adrianadane.com.